Thank you, Brother Graham. And good morning, brothers and sisters. It's lovely to be with you all this morning and share fellowship. On one occasion, when the Lord Jesus was teaching, he said, "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice." So I thought perhaps this morning we could go and learn what that means by way of trying to find an exhortation for us. I think the basic lesson is fairly clear, isn't it? God has always asked of his people that we shouldn't just worship him as a ritual, like the Jews and the Pharisees were doing, not just go through the motions, but our hearts should be right before him. We should try and live our whole lives in service and mercy and obedience. We find this lesson, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, a surprising number of times in Scripture. I think doing the readings, I kept sort of thinking, oh, I know where that passage is. But as you read Scripture, it comes over many, many times. What does mercy really mean? If we talk about mercy these days, I think we're usually thinking about somebody who could be very harsh, but they're lenient instead. Or sometimes we say that in Scripture, grace is where God gives us what we don't deserve, but mercy is where he spares us what we really do deserve. Because of our sinfulness, we deserve death. But God, in his mercy, has provided a way that we can be saved. But the word mercy, when we find it in the Old Testament particularly, has an even deeper meaning, which I found it helpful to understand. Can we start by going to Exodus, please? Exodus chapter 15. And verse 13. Now, if you're reading this in a King James Version, you will read, "You in your mercy have led forth the people who you have redeemed." If you're reading it from our modern version, you will read, "You have led in your steadfast love, in your unfailing love, the people you have redeemed." Because the Hebrew word doesn't just mean mercy as we understand mercy these days. The word means steadfast love, unfailing love. Now, many of you will realize I'm certainly not a Hebrew student. I have to admit, I'm actually usually not very keen on exhortations that are based on looking at Hebrew and Greek words, but I did find this helpful to understand the full depth of the meaning behind this word, and for me it made the lesson, the exhortation, more meaningful and more moving. Quite a few comments said that the Hebrew word we're looking at, which is chesed, I think, has a more profound meaning than any single word in English can convey. So we're thinking about a word that doesn't just mean God's mercy. It's a word that is translated in many ways and means his goodness, his kindness, his loving kindness, his steadfast love, his unfailing love, his enduring love. One definition I liked was, this is God's devotion, his enduring love, based on his covenant by which he binds himself to his people. So it's when God is talking about his unfailing love towards his people whom he has chosen and whom he has redeemed. So that's God's unfailing love towards us, isn't it? A little later, at Sinai, God proclaimed his name to Moses. When we go to Exodus 34, verse 6. The Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness. And it's that word translated goodness there that is this special word, often translated mercy. So in other translations you'll find love or steadfast love. It's God's enduring love for his people, even when it's undeserved. So our Father's mercy, his unfailing love, is part of his memorial name. And when he asks us to show mercy in our lives, he's asking us to reflect the goodness and the unfailing love which he shows to us, his people, the covenant devotion by which he binds himself to us, the people he has chosen. One more example. When Israel were about to enter the land, Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. Therefore know, the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. God keeps his covenant with his people, and he holds them in his mercy, his unfailing love, and this is for 1,000 generations. If we are his people now through the new covenant, he will hold us in that mercy, that steadfast, unfailing love. But, as it says there, it is for those who show their love to him and keep his commandments. And that's what we have to reflect in our lives. So we find this same exhortation through the whole of the Old Testament. God sent many of the prophets to teach this same lesson. Through Hosea, he said, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. God has always really wanted us to know him, hasn't he? And we have to show that knowledge in our lives by reflecting his mercy and his love. Let's read the message through Micah. Micah chapter 6 and verse 6. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the Lord? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? What does God require of us? To be humble before him, to show mercy and loving kindness in our lives, and to act justly. It's not just a ritual. The way we show our love and obedience is that we should be reflecting his loving kindness in a practical way by how we behave to those around us, particularly our brothers and sisters. So when we are dealing with our brothers and sisters, are we always showing them the steadfast, unfailing, loving kindness that our Father shows to us? Look at Isaiah chapter 1, please. Isaiah 1 verse 11. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats. Verse 16. wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. That's what God wants. I suppose the exhortation for us is it's not just about the ritual, coming to the meeting every Sunday, putting money in the collection, doing our duties. How are we actually putting our faith into practice? How are we reflecting our Father's unfailing loving kindness in our everyday lives to those around us? Looking after those who need help in different ways. I suppose it's not surprising that David, who we are told was a man after God's own heart, really understood this exhortation, this lesson. Let me look at Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. David realized that he needed God's mercy and loving kindness. And what was his response? Verse 16, for you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. But just like David, we come here this morning, don't we, knowing that we need God's mercy and we need his forgiveness. And these are the sacrifices we should bring. This should be our response. A contrite heart and seeking forgiveness before him. Some more words of David in Psalm 40. Verse 6. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. And I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is written in my heart. David knew that what was more important than sacrifices was really wanting to do the will of God, having God's laws in his heart. The wonderful thing about this psalm is we know that it is also pointing forward to the Lord Jesus. The work of the Lord Jesus. And we know the Lord Jesus really did delight to do his Father's will. And the full meaning of this psalm, this prophecy, is brought out for us in Hebrews chapter 10. Can we go there, please? Hebrews chapter 10, I'm starting at verse 1. I'm going to read the whole of this section because I think it really helps to bring out the meaning for us. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then, would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is reminder of sins every year, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have no pleasure. Then I said, Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings, sing offerings for sin, you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, Behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And that's why we're here this morning, isn't it? To remember and give thanks for the offering of the body of our Lord Jesus and his sacrifice. We're here to remember why we don't need sacrifices anymore, because the Lord gave himself as a sacrifice for us. And of course, the Lord Jesus gave us the perfect example for us to follow. The Lord Jesus really did show mercy in his life in all the different ways that we have been reading that God asks of us. The Lord Jesus really did love his Father. He was humble. He was obedient to his Father's will. He really did reflect his Father's mercy, that unfailing, steadfast love in his life, didn't he? Showing that unfailing love and mercy to those around him in a practical way, and showing that unfailing love to us. Lord Jesus was willing to give up everything he had, to sacrifice everything he had, and even to be a sacrifice for our sake, because of the love of his Father and because of his love for us. So what's the exhortation for us? How are we supposed to follow our Lord's example? We started with the lesson that God said he wants mercy, not sacrifice. But we've been thinking about the Lord Jesus. Actually, his life was a life of mercy and sacrifice, wasn't it? How do we show that in our lives? If you're still in Hebrews, turn over to chapter 13, verse 15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. The sacrifice we should be offering is praise, obedience, humility, but must also be reflected in a practical outworking in our lives as disciples, doing good, sharing with others. And let's read some words of the Apostle Paul, Romans chapter 12, and verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We want to show the good and acceptable and perfect will of God in our lives, don't we? But our minds need to be renewed, transformed from the ways of this world to that of the Lord Jesus. We need to live our lives as living sacrifices. Paul goes on to give some practical examples of how that sacrifice is offered through our service to the Lord Jesus and our service to each other. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Ministry, let us use it in ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. That's how we show mercy, in love and service, like the Lord Jesus did. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honour giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So now, as we seek to follow the example of our Lord, as we try to follow the example of our Lord, let's remember and give thanks for his perfect life, a life of obedience, of service, love, and a life of mercy. And let's remember and give thanks for his sacrifice for our sake, as we remember his sacrifice in the bread and wine.